In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we heard two epistles and two gospel readings. The first was from the fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council, and the second was for the Sunday after Pentecost. We'll speak a little bit today about one of the more familiar of the readings, which is this wonderful parable of the sower and his seed, and the four different types of soil, which is the illustration of the spiritual life and our journey to the kingdom of God. We know that the Lord delivered this parable to the crowds. And after he had spoken to everyone, the disciples came and asked him, "What does this parable mean?" And the Lord spoke to the disciples, and they recorded the explanation of the parable. The Lord delivered the parable, and he delivered through the evangelist the explanation to us. But we know that the Lord, being the Word of God, continues to speak at all times. He doesn't cease to speak to his creation whom he loves. He continually educates us and imparts wisdom to us. And he spoke through not only the law and the prophets, but he spoke also through the evangelists, and he continues to speak through his church, through the holy fathers and mothers of the church. Today we'll look at two things to illumine this parable in the light of Christ. First thing we'll look at is a story, and the second thing is a quote. First, the story. I think people like stories better than quotes. And some of you may have heard this before, others probably haven't. The story goes like this. There was a gentleman who was concerned about his spiritual life. He wanted to be on that path that leads to the kingdom of God. And he decided that he would go and he would visit this monastery, because at this monastery there was an elder there who was illumined by God. We said that God continues to speak to us in every generation. He spoke through the prophets, the evangelists, through the fathers. This was an elder through whom God spoke. And he knew that if he sought him out, that he would hear God's word very clearly. And he would be able to make sure that he's on that path to the kingdom of God. So he goes to this monastery, and he comes and he asks to speak with this elder. And the elder meets with him, and he tells him that, yes, he'll try, even though he's unworthy, to share God's word for him. But first, perhaps he could do something to help the monastery. So he sends him out to pick weeds in the garden. And he goes out, and he's picking weeds, and he does a pretty good job. And he comes back to the elder, and he says, "Yerinda," which is old man or elder, "I've done what you've asked me to do." And then the elder says to him, "Okay, thank you. There's also another item that you need help with, if you don't mind." And this gentleman says, no problem. So the elder points out this sapling, this tree, the young tree that's growing, that they want to remove because they need to build something more for the monastery, cells or an extension to one of the buildings. So he's got to uproot this sapling. And he looks at the sapling and he realizes that, it's a bigger task, but he's going to set himself to do it. So he tries to. With all his might, he's pulling on it and pulling on it, and he can't get it up. Can't get it up. He comes back to the elder and says, I can't uproot it. So the elder says, "Okay, take some of the brethren of the monastery. Together you get it up. Use the shovel, dig around it. You'll be able to get it up together." And he goes and he does it with the help of the brethren of the monastery. Comes back, and now he's waiting for that word of wisdom that was promised to him. And the elder says, "I have one more task for you." And by now, the person's a little bit frustrated. He's losing some patience. And he kind of knows what direction this is going. So the elder brings him out and he says, "This tree, this mammoth, gigantic tree that has been growing for ages, needs to be uprooted. And I need you to do it." And he says, "There's no way that I can do that. Even if all of the brethren of the monastery got together and we had our shovels, we can't uproot this tree." And this is, of course, a Karate Kid moment. Everyone's seen the Karate Kid, where Daniel-san is sent out to do these tasks, paint the fence, sand the floor, those kind of things. And actually, there's something being taught in the very action of that. The elder says to him, "Okay, here's the situation. I sent you out to pick these weeds, and it was easy to do because they were small. Then I sent you to pick and pull out this sapling, which was a little bit more difficult because it had been growing for some time. And now I send you out to pull this mammoth tree, and it's impossible because it has been growing too long. And he says to this young fellow, he says, this is the spiritual life. That if we don't pull the weeds out of our heart initially, early, or while they're young and fresh, then we have greater difficulty. And if they become like this sapling, and they've taken root, and they're not yet fully mature, but they are maturing, we're going to need the help of the church to do it. We're going to need the help of one another, and the tools that the church gives us to uproot it. And the gentleman says, well, that's great, but what about the tree? What about the tree? What if the passions have been growing for a long, long time? What if they're firmly rooted? It's impossible. And the elder says, no, it's not impossible. Because even the strongest tree can be uprooted by a serious storm, by the wind, the high winds. It can knock over any tree. And God has the power in his breath to knock down any passion, to knock down anything that we're struggling with, to overcome any sin. He has the power to do that. Now this, of course, is connected to the parable of the four different types of soil. In the parable, the Lord gives us these types, and quickly we'll review them. He's the sower of the seed, right? He sows his divine word into the heart of man. He gives his grace to the heart of man. That this is what he freely offers to everybody, all different types of soil, right? Not just to the good soil, but all different types of soil he offers his seed. And he said that some falls on the wayside, the road that has been walked heavily and is hard, and the seed isn't able to get in. And then the devil comes and he takes away that seed that had been sowed. And the Lord speaks about the rocky soil, and it lacks moisture, it lacks depth, and the root is not able to go down deeply. And then in time of temptation, there's a falling away. And then he talks about the soil that has the thorns and the weeds, and they grow together. And he talks about this as the care and the love of money and pleasure. And finally, the good grounds, that truthful and good heart that bears fruit with patience. Now, I want to share the quote with you, which helps us look at these things. But first, before we do that, we have to say something, that the context of this parable was given in the Lord's teaching of repentance. What is repentance but change? Hope for the better. Trust in God. Reformation of life. The enlightening of the mind. The warming of the heart. The change of the will from sin to righteousness. This is the context in which the parable is given. It wasn't given in the context of a pity party, where the Lord was saying, well, you know, some of you got good hearts, but the rest of you, it's over. Sorry. You know, you're just like the ground on the road. You got the thorns, and you got no depth. It's rocky ground. It's over. That wasn't the reason for the parable, right? The reason for the parable was for us to change our hearts, to become that good soil in which the Word of God, his teaching and his grace can grow. That's the whole point. Now, the quote is taken from this wonderful book, The Year of Grace of the Lord, and it's by a monk of the Eastern Church. He writes, "The ground on which the seed falls must have moisture in it. It must be frequently and regularly watered. This means that we must have constant and regular recourse to prayer and to other sources of grace, without merely depending upon moments of emotion or inspiration." What does this mean? It means that we have to continually care for our hearts and make sure that grace that was given to us in the Lord's teaching and in his divine baptism, that it's nurtured. It's nurtured through prayer and constant remembrance of God. And he says this, it's very interesting. He says, we must not lightly reject a fixed framework, such as timetables and rules of life. And he says, they may constitute a useless hindrance to the free flight of evils, but most often they are a help to the children and cripples that we are. Very, very interesting what he says. That there are hindrances, these rules and these customs and these guidelines that the church gives us to the free flight of evils. That's kind of a strange thing to say. And yet, how truthful is it? How truthful is it? To those who are already perfected in love, who fulfill the commandments because their minds, their hearts, and their wills are totally enwrapped in God, they don't need the basic guidelines of the church. They're superseding them. They're flying to the heights of heaven as eagles fly. That's what he's saying. But also for the rest of us who have not yet taken flight to the heavens, there are benefits. They provide structure and order to our life. When we look at ourselves, we can ask ourselves, are we eagles or are we people who need some help? Let's look at it. Let's look at it. What are the three types of soil that are difficult? One is the soil that's on the road. And the fathers say that the soil that's on the road, it doesn't receive the seed because it's been trampled on. Trampled on by the busyness of life. Life is very busy. And it's hard to fit the word of God into a busy life. It's very difficult. Right? Very difficult. And yet, the fathers also say that it's not industriousness that is the problem. It's not that we're hard workers. That's not the problem. In fact, St. Innocent, who we celebrated last Sunday, he says very clearly that the industrious person, the hard worker, the one who's busy, will more easily go the pathway that leads to the kingdom of God. The problem is that that busyness, the way of the world, didn't allow room for the word of God. And what do the guidelines teach us? The guidelines of the church tell us to come to church on Sundays, to come to church on feast days, to make time for God. The world is busy, absolutely. But if our life is too busy for God, then we're like unto this soil type. So the guidelines are there for us to make sure that we receive the word of God. Okay, what's another type? Another type is the type of soil that doesn't have depth, that it's rocky soil, and that we believe for a time, but then we fall away in time of temptation. Well, is temptation the problem? Is there anybody that's free from temptation? I don't think so. Was not the Lord himself tempted? Temptation isn't the problem. The problem with this type of soil is a lack of endurance, a lack of patience, a lack of depth. And what does the church do for us? The church tells us to bring our temptations to confession, to talk about what's troubling us. To say, I struggle with this, I struggle with that. This is a problem in my life. I need help with this. I need help with that. If it's finances, to come to the church and ask for financial assistance. That the church is here to help us bear our trials and our temptations. That's the very reason the Lord established this church, so that we would find strength in it, so we would be able to overcome our temptations, to make it through the trials, to have depth in our heart by relying on one another and relying on Him. What's the third type of soil? It's the soil that grows the Word of God together with what? Thorns, weeds. And what do those represent?
The desires in life.
The desires in life. And that is an excellent answer. I thought someone was going to say money and pleasures. Right? Riches and pleasures. Because that's what was mentioned in the Gospel. But if we listen carefully, that was mentioned in a context. And Oscar got the context just right. It was care for riches and pleasure. What do the scriptures say about the root of all evil? What is the root of all evil? Is it money? The love of money, right? Money is not evil. Money is not the problem. Blessed Theophylact, when he comments on this, and he's from the 9th, 10th century, summarizes the fathers before him. Wonderful commentary, Blessed Theophylact. He said that it's not wealth that's the problem. It's not money that's the problem. That there are many people who have been wealthy and have administered that wealth in a way that's pleasing to God. There are many stewards who receive 10 talents and offer 10 back to God. That it's not money that's the problem. It's the love of money. He says that money is a great gift. It's a great talent entrusted to us for the glory of God and for the benefit of our neighbor. That money isn't the problem. It's the love of money. Now, brothers and sisters, the church gives us guidelines for this too. What are the guidelines that the church gives us? To bring an offering to the Lord's temple. To remember the poor in charity. To care for the people of our household. To care for our neighbors. To feed the hungry. To clothe the naked. The guidelines are there for us. If we soar like eagles, if we're to the heights of heaven, then we won't need these guidelines. We won't need to focus on doing this daily or weekly. We won't need to consider these rules and these timetables and these seasons and all of these kind of things. But how many of us can honestly say that we do that, that we really soar to the heights of heaven? That we are able to put in check the busyness of the world so that we never miss an opportunity to be with God and His church? So that we're continually wrapped in prayer. How many of us are able to do that? We need the cycle of feasts. We need the cycle of Sundays. We need our morning prayers, our evening prayers, our prayers before meals. We need these things. We need this time for God. Even and especially in the busyness of the world. How many of us, when we look at the trials and temptations that we face, how many of us are able to handle all of them without the support that's offered to us in the church? How many of us are able to grow in our spiritual life without making a confession, without sharing our problems, without talking about the things that we struggle with, without bringing our problems to the church and asking for help? How many of us are able to do that? How many of us have given away everything that we have so that we have nothing left to give when it comes time to offer something to the church or to the poor? Not many of us. And in a parish church in the world, I would say none of us. Right? None of us have given everything away. That's the calling, a specific calling, a unique calling for those in the monastic life who give up all possessions. And they don't make regular offerings on Sunday because they've made it a once and for all. For us, we've been given these guidelines, these rules, so that we can change our soil type. Remember, this parable was given not to start a pity party where everyone's, oh, you know, I got wealth, I got temptations, you know, I got a job, I got a busy life. There's no way I can get into the kingdom. I'm not the good soil. Let's pack it up and go home. I mean, that's not the context that this was given. Just give it in the context of repentance, change, hope, betterment, amendment of life, resurrection even. This is how the Lord gives us his teaching in a very positive manner. Let us be wise enough to really look at where we're at, to see where we are, and to see where the Lord is calling us to go, and to understand the way there, the way to change our heart. The way to enter into that kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, it is open for us. The kingdom of God is at hand. If only we're willing to repent, to believe the Lord's teaching, to receive that seed, that word of God, that grace, to nurture it, to cultivate it, we will be able to enter into the kingdom. We'll be able to bring forth that fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It's up to us. It's up to us. What we desire and what we want. Oscar, you hit the nail on the head. It's about desire. What do we desire? It's all open to us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.